From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you, David, and I'm so glad you're listening in today to the weekend edition of Life Change. On weekends, as you know, we always have testimonies of people that God has greatly used, and we have stories that people tell about their lives, and we also have authors on who have written books. And today we have a really special time. In fact, for 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about the American presidency, which is, I guess, would be safe to assume the most powerful position in all of the world. My good friend, Pastor John Wooden, is on with us today. Pastor John is from Hollywood, Florida. He and I have been dear friends for a lot of years. In fact, I preach at his church every year. And we just recently, I spoke there at a dedication of a brand new section for his building. And Pastor John, it's just a joy having you on with us today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Padrone. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Tell us just a little bit about your church and ministry there.
Our church is located in Hollywood, Florida. It's a very diverse congregation. We do a lot of outreach ministry to the poor and the homeless communities. Just a great group of people, and we love them dearly.
I always enjoy going to your church. I always enjoy the prayer time you have at your church. It's no doubt that your church has been bathed in prayer, which is a wonderful thing. Now, you're a pastor, you're a preacher, you do a lot of things, you are a leader in the community, but you have become a student, actually, and almost somewhat of a scholar, I would think, in the American presidency. What drove you to that? Was that something you've been doing for years? Is that something you...
Yeah, for years, since I was in college, I took a course in college on the American presidency, and actually from a guy who looked like young Abe Lincoln from Kentucky, kind of real tall and rangy without the beard, but what I pictured Lincoln to look like as a young man. And he taught the first and second, and I just devoured it and have always read books about the presidency and then delved into individual presidency and the history nut and politics. So you put that together, you've got a pretty good mix there.
Yeah. Who shaped the American presidency?
Well, it's interesting, you know, because there was no model for the American presidency. The known world, the European world, was kings and queens. And so there's really, I mean, other than the British Parliament, but really, they pulled from the Roman Senate, they pulled from a lot of different sourcing, John Locke's teachings and writings, and pulled together, made this American presidency. And I'll tell you that the first time they tried it, it flopped with the Articles of Confederation. From 1781 to 1789, we were ruled very loosely by the Articles of Confederation, which was a complete disaster. The federal government had no power whatsoever. They were so conscious of the states remaining intact that they gave so little power that there were, in fact, 8 presidents in 8 years. They served for 1-year terms, but they really had no authority whatsoever.
So who was the first president?
Well, the first president, surprisingly enough, a gentleman by the name of John Hanson from Maryland. Under the Articles of Confederation, he was the man that they chose to be the first president. We all think it's George Washington, and it is under our current Constitution, but the real first president was John Hanson. Of course, they had no taxing power, and he could raise an army if he needed to, but he had to go to the states to get the money to pay for it. So if they chose to follow along, so it was a very awkward situation, and they soon realized that it wasn't going to work because what would become the federal government was ineffective, you know, had no authority whatsoever.
So that's something I think many of us are learning today, Pastor, who the first president was. Give us his name again.
John Hanson.
John Hanson.
You know, there were a number of them. The only one we probably would recognize is John Hancock served for 1 year in that group of eight. Most of the others, came in and out of office, and that was the end of them. Mm. You know, it isn't really until we have our present constitution with electing presidents every 4 years. And George Washington was an amazing man in that Washington shaped the American presidency. Mm. No one knew what it was going to look like. They picked the most influential man and probably the greatest hero of the Revolution, George Washington, to be the first president. And of course, he was elected by acclamation. And that would later on, you know, we would come up to only one other time where there was kind of a sense of acclamation for a president. But he's the one. In fact, a couple of years ago, they found his leather-bound copy of the Constitution with his notes in the margin, where he had made notes of how they were going to proceed and what they would do on certain things and how they would, conduct the government. In fact, they didn't even know the first time he came to Congress, they didn't even know what to call him. and with the way we do it now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States was developed like at the last moment as he's ready to enter. They didn't know if they should call him His Excellency or His Majesty. They didn't know what to do. I think it was just the sergeant at arms just said, well, we'll just call him the President of the United States. And we still do that 250 years later. We're still doing that when the president comes to address Congress.
What a fascinating story that is. That's fantastic to think of how that developed. You're listening into Life Change today. This is Dino Padron chatting with you with Pastor John Wooden, and we're talking today about the American presidency. If you'd like to have a copy of one of my most recent books, I would be delighted to send it to you. It's called True Spiritual Identity. It's taking Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, and seeing the identity that we have in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to get a copy of that book. You can simply go to our webpage at dinopadronministries.org, or you can send me a note at dinopadron@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to get you a copy of the book. If you want to send an offering in, it helps well our ministry, not only with radio and television, but also our missions outreaches. And so if you want to help us that way, but whatever you do, just go ahead and get the book. That we want to be a blessing to your life. Well, Pastor, we're learning things today about our presidency. How has the presidency changed?
Well, the presidency, you think about it, it was a nation that was far-flung with no means of communication other than, you know, sending a letter to somebody. So the government, when they created the Capitol in Washington, which is interesting, it was kind of a cruddy, swampy area that they picked for the nation's capital. And really, the government had very little power. I mean, even under the Constitution, the federal government had very little power. In fact, it couldn't tax directly. It raised money by putting tariffs on foreign goods when they came into ports. And so we wouldn't even recognize it today. It was so small and had so few employees. And versus today, the megalith that exists, which is the U.S. federal government, wouldn't even recognize it.
Our government today has become massive, hasn't it?
Yes, yes.
So
and really, I would say that we have developed a fourth branch of government, even though technically it doesn't exist, and that's the bureaucracy. Because the bureaucracy has a life of its own. And we've discovered over the years that the bureaucracy, even though Congress may pass a law or the president puts in a policy, if they don't like to pursue it, they don't have to. And there's really no mechanism to make them follow what the president wants to do or even what the Congress does. Because somebody said a while ago, Congress may write tax laws, but it's what the Internal Revenue Service says the tax law is what counts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very frightening, you know, that there's a group of bureaucrats and a large group of bureaucrats in Washington and thereabouts that really control the government.
So you mentioned here, I know in the notes, about the era of good feeling. What was the era of good feeling?
You know, after the War of 1812, you know, we successfully fight back the British. And from the end of the war, when the treaty is signed in 1815, actually before the last battle of the War of 1812, the treaty was signed, but the Battle of New Orleans took place after the treaty was already signed, but they had no knowledge of it because there was no indication, you know, so the letter that was coming to General Jackson, you know, got there too late. The battle was already done. But from there into the presidency of James Monroe, in fact, Monroe runs in 1820 for re-election. It was almost by acclamation, and they had one person vote against him, so that George Washington would be the only unanimous president. There was such a sense that the Americans had pulled together, were in great unity. In fact, Monroe made a goodwill tour of the United States, which took several months, stopping in major cities. And he was acclaimed, and he very, I would say, cleverly dressed himself almost like George Washington, with a powdered wig and a long blue coat, and he was extremely well received. In fact, the newspapers in Boston, when he first appeared, called it the era of good feelings, that he has done such a wonderful job as president. I don't think we have the same climate today.
Yeah, I was thinking of that as you were talking there, Pastor, that the climate in Washington today is very, very toxic, I guess I would say. And if there's an era of good feeling today, I don't know where it is.
it doesn't exist today. This is almost the same atmosphere as before the American Civil War.
Boy.
Where there was not an ability to have a discussion, especially during the pre-Civil War years, between states' rights and or slavery. In fact, one of the Southern senators, Charles Sumner, was a noted abolitionist and senator from Massachusetts. And he, during a debate on the Senate floor, the Southern senator went over with his cane and beat him because he didn't like what he was saying, and sent Sumner to the hospital. And he was out of commission for quite a while. So, you know, we have that kind of anger and bitterness, you know, amongst the political parties.
Well, we're learning today about the American presidency and some of those early days. I want to remind you that next week, I'm delighted to have Pastor John Wooden on again. And he's going to be talking about transformational presidents. And he'll be mentioning several, in his opinion, that they were transformational in what they did for America. So we're looking forward to that. Also, I want to remind you that Monday through Friday, over these same stations, you can listen into our program. We have a program Monday through Friday, a Bible study, and we encourage you to listen in. Monday through Friday, we study the Word of God together. Our broadcast goes out to a lot of different people. We have been on for a while up in the Northeast on the Montrose Broadcasting Network, but we've also been on Mission Go, which now goes all over many parts of America through online radio and into several foreign countries. Plus, we are on in Eastern Africa with a wonderful network there. And so we're thankful. We're glad for those of you who have sent us emails and letters. We appreciate hearing from you. And if you'd like to be on our mailing list, simply let us know that. You can send a note to dinopadrone@gmail.com. That's D-I-N-O. P-E-D-R-O-N-E, dinopadrone@gmail.com, and simply give me your mailing address or your email address, and we'll be glad to get you on our mailing list. Pastor, take just a moment to say hi to all of our listeners out there, if you would.
Yeah, we want to greet everyone in the Lord Jesus Christ and just let you know that we love you and that we care about what's going on in your world, and we pray. You know, our prayer teams pray for your situation and what's going on. Prayer is a powerful weapon. You know, in fact, it is the most powerful weapon that we have.
Yeah, and I would say this about your church, Pastor. Your church is definitely a praying church. I love being there and spending time preaching the Word of God there. But you people bless me in such a wonderful way, and you do too. Now, we're talking about the American presidency with Pastor John Wooden. How has the presidency changed over policy?
Interestingly enough, there have been several changes in policies over the years that directed the presidencies. One of which, things like manifest destiny, where we in the 1840s, we decided that the entire American continent belonged to the United States. And because we were blessed by God, because we were better people than everybody else, I mean, it was kind of a crazy thing, but this became a mantra that you didn't really come against it. And American presidents for several terms, different ones, kind of promoted it. In fact, we even fought a war over it with Mexico, and with the ultimate goal being to get territory in California and the western states that were controlled by Mexico at the time. The Monroe Doctrine still is in effect today. James Monroe declares this in the 1820s, that no foreign power is allowed to set up shop in the Caribbean. And that it's too close to America, and that we have the right to go and chase you out. And it's really, the Monroe Doctrine is still part of our mantra. And today, you have the concept of American exceptionalism, you know, first put together by Woodrow Wilson, but that we are the world's policemen, and that we have a unique spiritual goal. And in fact, we don't want other territories, we don't want other countries, but we can act as the world's policemen. And that's really what we did from the World War One and really until quite recently. In fact, very recently, you know, with the pullout in Afghanistan, where we have acted as the world's policemen. So it drives American policy to the point where both major parties support the same goals.
That's a fascinating thought, Willie, when you think about the policy. And it's true, we are the world's policemen. I think some nations may not like that, but we are the nations.
And when we don't step up into that role, they get nervous. A lot of the nations get very nervous about why we haven't stepped up into that role that they're so used to for almost 100 years.
Yeah,
for us doing that.
So that began with Woodrow Wilson, you're saying?
Yeah, Woodrow Wilson. Prior to Wilson, we pretty much were an isolationist nation. George Washington's farewell address was, beware of foreign entanglements. You're going to get into things that you don't want to, and because you've signed treaties with other nations, stay out of their wars. And we did. Pretty much we stayed out of everybody else's business. We protected American industry with high tariffs, so the concept of free trade was a one-way street for us, and pretty much isolationism was the rule of the day through most of all of the 19th century and into the early 20th century. It's Wilson who changes that and says, no, we got to get involved in this thing in Europe.
Well, it's fascinating stuff. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padrone talking to you from our ministry here in Delray Beach, Florida. I am so glad to have Pastor John Wooden on from Hollywood, Florida today. And our subject is the American presidency. Now, what you've been telling us is fascinating stuff. For some, it may be a repeat, but for most listeners, Pastor, this is a lot of new material on the American presidency, which is really fascinating. So bring us up now to the modern presidency, if you would.
Well, the complication of the modern presidency is so complex, and the interrelationship now of the global economy, you know, so it's almost impossible for any policy things that we do here, any policy statements, automatically affect the whole world. And it's quite interesting because everything the president says now is of extreme interest to everyone. And if he makes a misstatement, everybody, you know, takes a collective big, deep breath because it means so much. The modern presidency, especially with the speed of the internet and the, you know, the abilities to especially fight wars almost not only digitally, but fight wars at remotely, you know, with drones and things. They sit in New Mexico and direct drones in Afghanistan and over Russia and Ukraine. So, you know, we can fight these wars, you know, it's Star Wars, you know, things that the thing that the Reagan administration put out there, but it's actually happening. And so the speed at which things happen in the world and can be affected by the modern presidency and, of course, the political climate here, you know, is so estranged from each other. There's really no ability to sit down and work things out. In previous years, and I'm going back probably to this, well, even the Reagan administration, where he would sit down with Tip O'Neill, who was of the opposite political party, and they would work things out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we have that ability anymore to sit down in the room, close the door, and come out with a policy statement.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting and, I guess, kind of disappointing situation we're in now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's sad because having been to served in elective office, you know, a long time ago, I always felt like it was important, if we were working on something, to sit down with the people of the opposite party. You know, you may not get everything you want. You may not be 100%, but you were able to get something done to help people. And now I'm not sure that we're able to. And the concept of executive orders really didn't exist much before the modern presidency. And, you know, and they disappear. The sad part about executive orders, as soon as that president's out of office, that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that's down the road that's probably going to have to be dealt with. You know, what is the long-term effect of those things?
Yeah, well, you've been listening in, my dear friends, to the American Presidency with Pastor John Wooden. What a wonderful education we received today. We have just about a minute left here. Pastor, tell us briefly about next week's program on transformational presidents.
Yeah, it's interesting because I believe that there are about seven transformational presidencies where the country took a radical turn and things changed dramatically from what they had been for a long period of time. We're quickening up those things today, but I can tell you that there are at least, I believe, seven presidents that change things, and I think that we can look at to see how the spiritual impact as well with these transformational presidencies.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that week next week. So glad to have you on, Pastor John Wooden from Hollywood, Florida, and he'll be with us next week talking about transformational presidents. You've been listening into Life Change Weekend. Don't forget, Monday through Friday, we have our Bible studies on Life Change Today. And also to all of you that are out there, thank you for listening into our broadcast and to our weekend edition as well. Weekends are always set aside for interviews of men and women that God has greatly used in some way or perhaps through some testimony. Or even like today, a wonderful academic and educational time together learning about the presidency of the United States of America. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the house of God on Sunday. Thank you so much for listening in.
Listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to DinoPadrone@gmail.com or DinoPadroneMinistries.org. That's DinoPadrone@gmail.com or DinoPadroneMinistries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.